Stacey Dales, NFL Network correspondent.
Doing great. Good morning, everybody.
Breaking down the Bears beating news around the NFL.
Caleb Williams, it was a monster performance from you, an international rookie record. 4 touchdowns. How did that feel for you?
Yeah, it felt great. I think obviously, you know, we got to keep getting better. I can't turn the ball over like that in the wide open.
Enjoy the win.
Awesome. Thank you. Go Bears.
Former WNBA star.
Over to Dales, easy land. Stacey Dales off a beautiful feed from Elaine Powell.
Stacey Dales with Mully and Haw.
And I live in Chicago, and I do the Score radio, a little plug there.
Sure.
Every
670.
Week.
670.
On 670 The Score.
Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. Always a delight to talk to Stacey Dales of the NFL Network. She joins us now on the Aturo Tire Hotline. Aturo, your hometown tire, aturo.com. Stacey, finally home, finally out of London, for God's sake.
Welcome back.
Thank you. Guys, mind my voice today because I am, I walked off the plane, and as soon as I walked off the airplane on Monday night, I had that thing in my throat, and I'm just glad it didn't happen while I was there because it was an awesome 2 weeks, and boy, you know, being on that flight coming back, the Bears fans on that flight, and just there's such a different aura. I can't even explain to you guys what this thing felt like to see what he did and what this team collectively did in London. And I know it was the Jags, and I know the Jags aren't very good, and I know the Panthers aren't very good, but those are games you're supposed to win and win with dominance, and that's exactly what Chicago has done.
And in your interview with him as he's walking off the field, he tells you, he wants to talk about the mistake he made rather than the glory that occurred during the course of that game and the 4 touchdown passes. And maybe it could have been 5. DJ Moore stopped at the goal line. But my God, that is such a good attitude for him to have. And I got to tell you, every time I hear that guy talk, every time he's had great training or he really is sincere and he wants to be a great player. And I think it's the latter.
I totally agree, Mully. There's so much good I have to say about this young man. Conversations before the game, right? It's my favorite time when I'm on the field talking to, you know, executives with the team and what have you. And, you know, just talking to Ryan Poles, and I know he'd be okay if I shared this, but, his ability to handle adversity. But then how many times have we done this show together? And I've talked about the first thing that I learned from Lincoln Riley is he is fixated on his mistakes. Mm-hmm. So to watch him, to be down as sort of a fly on the wall on that sidelines, it was incredible to witness the body language and the disposition of this football team. And when I say that, this team, I mean the defense. As the defense is sitting there on the bench, all different position groups watching their Bears offense go to work. I can't remember when there was that much joy in the defense as they kind of watched this thing evolve throughout the course of the game in London. And knowing confidently that these guys are going to score, but when he threw that interception, I was right behind his location where he sits, and he came over and I could see him. You know, we're not supposed to kind of take the words out of their mouth and air them, but I did a quick report that he basically said that was a touchdown. What was I doing? And then to go on and throw 4 touchdowns, and then for him to bring that up in our post-game interview, the first thing out of his mouth, accountability, I shouldn't have thrown that ball, or I've got to be better, or whatever it was. And then for, you know, Ryan Poles to say one of the most impressive things is how he's handled adversity. I learned so much sitting in production meetings. Matt Eberflus told us that, you know, he is really hard on himself, and he's got to remind him to have more grace and be more gracious. And I just think that speaks to Bears fans should be so pumped because this guy wants to be great, and he has all the tools to be that way. And then in other conversations I had, Mully and David, 2 things from offensive coaches that recurringly have been told to me and were told to me in London, his vision and his command. There are these clips that are circulating on X, whatever you want to call it, of his vision and his scanning. And Kurt Warner talked about it in the game. Right. He is moving that head on a swivel, and he's seeing the game. he's seeing it at a different, in a different way now, in a better way. And then his command at the line of scrimmage has drastically improved. I mean, his improvement from week one to week six, and now they get the bye. By the way, this bye is so critical for him. Mm. And that's another conversation I had. He has not had a break from training camp to the start of the season to now. He's finally getting a break this week, and it's going to be a great mental refresher before they see the Commanders in the following week.
So, Stacey, you were there for 2 weeks, so we consider you our London expert in all things related to football and jet lag. But I wonder that the Bears had their second choice for the hotel, so they were put an hour away from the city, which I think almost turned out to be a blessing in disguise, perhaps, because it seemed like it was idyllic, the English countryside. They had the personal practice fields, and the Bears seemed like the better prepared team. I wonder, do you think other teams now, because the science and the data is kind of mixed, will they look at the Bears having established a template for how to do the London trip right?
I don't think so, David, because they all have their way. The Jacksonville Jaguars always go Thursday, and they always land Friday. And they're there for 2 weeks. They have a game against the Patriots this coming Sunday. So I just think, you know, Flus told us in our meetings, like, they went to the science, and they felt like leaving Monday, landing Tuesday. And I really think with a rookie quarterback, especially, and an offense that is slowly finding its identity, I really think that was a good decision for them. They were ready to go. They just were. They were ready to go. There was confidence. There was conviction. I just felt like there was such conviction in their performance. And I just think every team does it different, because some teams have done it, David, and they've gone over Thursday and won Friday. Like, I just had the Vikings. They always do Thursday to Friday. And they won when I was there in 2 years ago in 2022 in Kevin O'Connell's first year. And they won this game, obviously, this past last weekend. So I think that it's all about who's your personnel, who are you taking and heeding advice from. And but certainly it worked for the Bears.
This segment with Stacey Dales is brought to you by McGrath Acura in Westmont. When you do the math, you choose McGrath. And as David mentioned, Stacey has been in London for a couple of weeks. She's already apologized. She's really fighting an English accent. choking back an English accent.
You're not supposed to make me laugh, Molly.
I'm just curious, as we look at Caleb, and you mentioned he hasn't had any kind of break, but now he gets a week off. All the players have a week off. I'm sure he's still, you know, doing whatever he has to do, and if there's any treatment needed, whatever he needs to do. But he's heading home. And he's going to be facing the Washington Commanders. And it's a great matchup with the guy taken second in the NFL draft with Jaden Daniels. And he knows Cliff Kingsbury. Oh, and by the way, it's Montez Sweat going back to Washington. I just think that there is a lot of fun for a guy that tends to meet the moment, who likes to have the big game. I think this is going to be a lot of fun coming out of the break.
I do, too. I this is exciting. We were talking about that with my crew. Rich Eisen particularly was like, he's like, we got to talk about this on the broadcast in London, because it's just going to be such a momentous game, given all the hyperbole, right, that we've all been experiencing with this surge of Jaden Daniels, who, you know, obviously they're coming off a loss, but they should certainly beat the Panthers this week. It's a home game for them. And I think they lost last weekend to Baltimore.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Yeah, they did. And so I there's a lot of storylines, but what I really like and appreciate is how level-headed Caleb Williams is. So I don't think the moment's not going to ever be too big for him. And that is so exciting to me if you are a Bears fan. He is really smart, you guys. I'll just give you a quick example. When we met with him on Thursday of last week in our meetings, he made a very specific point that, and this is a small thing, but it's a big thing. He specifically said, I have got to get Keenan Allen going. I have to. I've got to get him in the end zone. We have to get him in the end zone. And this, he said, we got to do it this week. We got to do it this week. He had a slow start, obviously, with the injury. What did we see? He had a goal. He had a purpose. He goes into that game on Sunday, and he finds Keenan Allen, who's, you know, been so productive in his now 13th season, like, or 12th, whatever it is. I just, this guy's really smart, and I think that the moment won't be too big for him next week against Jaden Daniels. And I think with this Bears defense, I was extremely impressed with the ability to not have Jaquan Brisker and Tyreek Stevenson. And guess who led them in tackles?
Jalen Jones.
Jalen Jones.
Yep.
I mean, I was talking to Peanut Tillman before the game and at Tottenham, and we were talking about the secondary. I'm like, you got to be pumped, right? Like, he's pumped about this defense, you guys. And we were talking about Jalen, and Peanut was saying, yeah, I talked to him earlier today. He said, I told him, you just got to go out and you got to do your job, make your plays on the ball when they're there, and don't play outside of yourself. Because it was a huge start for him, right? Mm-hmm. And yep. I just think that the defense is really good. And I think that, you know, in all areas, like Tremaine Edmonds told us, like, he can't say this guy's the best defensive player on our team. Like, it is really a collection. And his motto is, as he said to us, all right, all wrong. They are very united. And then you have an offense that's now scoring points, as we've seen. And I just can't recall this much fervor and excitement in Chicago in a long time when it comes to complimentary football.
Stacey, last Friday when we talked to you, you provided us some tremendous content that took on a life of its own with the first 15 and then the openers and Matt Eberflus's consequently, he explained himself a little bit better, a little clearer, so we knew what exactly the Bears were dealing with. Curious what your feedback and response was and what you thought about the offense's approach Sunday against the Jags.
I think this is a team that has an incredible level of dialogue and respect for each other. I think that, you know, it's interesting because when you put news like that out, you don't ever want it to be negative. And then you'll get people that may be listening now or not that are going to say, well, what's the point? Who cares? Well, when I have players tell me how important it was, it's important. So when I have Mercedes Lewis, and it's positive, right? Like, this was a decision made collectively just to give this guy, this offense, more focus and a more deliberate focus. Take out the guesswork. And, you know, to not have a definitive script. Have they scored on their opening drive this season? No, they haven't. But what it did was it gave a very specific focus to the offense to where now you get locked in. And those plays may not work because they follow them sequentially. But I think it was a galvanizing turning point for them, and that's why it was important to me. When you have player feedback with coaches and coaches are open to it, Shane Waldron, tip of the cap to him, because he changed something that the players wanted, and he did it, and they're all happy about it. And now they have some power and freedom, and they feel like this is their baby, right? So I have a lot of respect when there's dialogue, and I think that's what you saw from the Bears, and I think that's why that was important to me as we discussed it last week.
I'm curious what your thoughts are on Tom Brady becoming an NFL owner. He now has 5% of of the Oakland Raiders. I'm just curious about the idea that will this impact how he does games? You know, he's got this $375 million 10-year deal from Fox. He won't be able to go into any of the facilities of opposing teams. He won't be able to go to any of the production meetings. It's just, I'm just curious if as a broadcaster, you think this impacts him, or is he sort of above the fray because he's Tom Brady?
It's a really good question, Molly. I think this is a business decision.
Mm-hmm.
I think that, you know, when we saw Tom start, like, he's the greatest quarterback of all time, right? Like, I think maybe it's challenging for these former players to opine on a broadcast. I don't know if you guys agree, but I think that could have maybe been a little bit of what was happening. I think he realizes that, you know, giving his opinion and criticizing in a polite way quarterbacks on air and offenses and defenses and what they're doing is part of the gig. I think because of the way he approached the game and his business mind, I mean, he was able to separate as a player the personal from the business all the time. there's a lot of former teammates that probably have a few stories that they, you know, a few O-linemen along the way that, like, he pissed off a little bit because of the way he screamed at him, right? Mm-hmm. But he got wins. Like, we all saw the Baker Mayfield thing, right? Like, this isn't a daycare. Like, we got to win, and we got to win Super Bowls, and nobody's done it like him. So I think he'll be able to separate it. But it is interesting because what can of worms, Mully, is it opening for other former players that have roles in the media or on teams or whatever the case may be? So it'll be interesting if he's got a Raiders game, but I don't see them in primetime anytime soon.
No. But we also, we only got a minute, Stacey, but we just heard you talk about the value of production meetings last week in London preparing for the Bears game. If he's not able to attend those meetings that are so valuable to reporters like yourself or analysts like we see, can he do the job as well as he could typically just because he is Tom Brady?
I don't know. We'll have to see. We'll have to see how this TV thing works out for him this year. Right. Does he like it? Is he having fun? I mean, is he being himself? Like, you know, like, it's not an easy seat. It just isn't. I mean, the work that goes into that role, like, I'm in our, so by the way, every London location, you guys, is an hour to an hour and a half from the city. Every NFL site that they stay at, it's an hour to an hour and a half drive. So you're dealing with a 3-hour commute. In the process of those commutes, I always ride with Kurt. I wanted to ride with Kurt because I learned stuff from him. And I pick his brain for like an hour. And then he loves it. He pulls out his touchscreen and we go over tape together because he breaks down the quarterback position like nobody else. Mm. And his level of preparation for a game is insanity. So you gotta want to do it. And I don't know. I've not ridden an hour with Tom Brady out to Hanbury.
Good answer, Stacey.
You know, so it's, we'll see if he likes it. We'll see if this business venture is something that he's more interested in, you know, in a few years from now. But obviously he wants to be a part of the business side of it, and he's doing it. Pretty cool.
Awesome stuff. Thanks so much, Stacey. Great stuff.
Thanks, Stacey.
Great to be with you guys. Take care.
That is Stacey Dales. Does a wonderful job.
Really interesting stuff.
Very interesting perspective there, you know.
Honest.
Yeah, interesting. We should probably go over that a little bit, although we have a lot of things we have to
We got get. A lot to cover. I want to get back to our catastrophic injury to professional athlete discussion.
Yeah.
We got a couple to add to the list.
Yeah, there have been some people checking in with us, and it's much appreciated. So we'll get back to that whole thing next. It's Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio, 6-7, The Score. Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio, 6-7-4.
So we're talking about Lonzo Ball coming back tonight.
Yes!
Big night for Lonzo Ball. Big night for the Bulls. He hasn't played in
big
over 1,000 days.
Big night for the score.
Big night for the score. Pre-game right here on the score, 6:45. Big Chuck and Bill bring you home. Bulls, T-Bulls. Lissaburger Mini on the pregame. Yes, so it's a big night for everyone. And it got us talking earlier about how far back he has climbed. And so we asked the question about, has there ever been a professional athlete overcome as much as he has overcome? Because we're dealing with a meniscus transplant. He's got another bone in his body. He's come back from something that no NBA player has come back from before. We got a lot of good submissions on the text line.
Yes.
A lot of good, I don't say good examples. I think they're kind of tragic examples because they are guys who lost their ability to do their livelihood or to make a living the way they are typically used to making a living, shorten their careers, but triumphant nonetheless. Alex Smith comes to mind.
Yes.
That's a good one. He broke his leg.
Oh, my God.
Remember that?
It was awful.
2018. Do you know what's weird about that before we get to his comeback?
Yeah.
You remember that one, 2018, when he broke his leg?
I remember that one.
Do you know what it was? 23 years to the day that Joe Theismann broke his leg.
The Joe Theismann injury may have been one of the most gruesome I've ever seen in my life.
Mm-hmm. Same.
It was just an awful injury.
Can't watch it.
And famously, Joe is laying there, and he screams, I'll be back. And I think it was Pepper Johnson says, not today you won't. Wow.
That's quite a response.
Sorry.
That was November 2018. Alex Smith had the injury.
Whoa.
He came back 2 years later. He started six games of the 2020 season, and he had Alex Smith had a broken leg as well that looked like it was catastrophic, and his comeback was the stuff of documentaries on ESPN.
Yes. You ever see what that looks like?
It was really, really ugly.
Like, look at it. Dick Butkus's knee back in the day.
Speaking of back in the day, Gale Sayers is somebody we should mention.
Poor Gale Sayers.
1968, he tore his ACL and MCL in his right knee and still came back after that before technology was as advanced to lead the league in rushing. Different style of runner, but still effective.
He gained 1,000 yards on one leg, David. Honest to God.
I know. I mean, he hopped his way through the hole
and
ran to daylight. This is a guy who Chicago remembers well, people of a certain age, but he was doing that on
Kansas Comet.
One good leg. Yeah. And so that was another example. Bo Jackson comes to mind.
Bo Jackson, that was awful. That was a Monday Night Football game. He runs down the sidelines and he ran over someone and broke his hip. Is that it? And then the hip started. He had to have a hip replacement and then came back with the White Sox in baseball, right?
In baseball, different sport.
Nonetheless.
Different collision, but still an impressive comeback. I think the modern day example that is the most apt in terms of guys who came back and played at a high level despite the catastrophe of their injury, Adrian Peterson, we mentioned it before. Yeah. I did not realize that after his surgeries and after his recovery, he had a 2,000-yard season?
Yeah. Yeah.
That's remarkable.
Right. The fact that he came back from an ACL injury in 9 months or whatever it was is the most remarkable thing I think anyone's seen. Just the quickness in which he got past an injury, which is a full year injury. When you do your ACL, and in fact, it's usually more like 18 months because you're not the same when you come back from it. It's not like you come back 100%. So it was incredible.
Isn't it odd these examples that we're getting submitted and we're finding are not basketball examples? I am struggling to find an example.
Paul George.
Yeah.
Didn't he suffer like a compound fracture?
Mm-hmm. That's true. That's a good one.
That was a really bad injury.
That was a really bad one.
He's still playing.
But I don't think it required the amount of medical ingenuity that this recovery.
Lonzo Ball's been out for 2.5 years.
Mm.
2.5 years.
Anything you get is a bonus.
Yeah.
Anything he accomplishes is, I think,
and when we had breakfast,
exceeds
with Billy
expectations.
And the boss,
yes, that was fun.
They were saying that they're thinking not just about what he can do for the Bulls this year, but he wants to continue his career. So, the idea of not rushing him back, about not playing him back to back game, they're thinking about his future beyond this season, not just what he can do for the Bulls, but will he have a career beyond this season?
And that's a fair question, and they owe that to him, and I'm sure Lonzo Ball is thinking of it that way too. He's not looking at this as the end of anything tonight. He's viewing this, I'm sure, as the beginning, right? The second beginning to his career as a young man who, in a couple weeks, turns 27 years old. His birthday is October 27th. He was born in 1997. He's a young man. He's got how many more years of playing basketball in his mind ahead of him? You mentioned Derrick Rose, and that's a very interesting comparison because when Derrick Rose went down on April 28th, 2012, everyone remembers that well. I think there was a feeling that he was going to come back and never be the same player. He never really was, but he sure lasted a long time.
Yeah.
So I wonder if Lonzo Ball, in his wildest dreams and expectations, they don't seem very wild to him, probably. He still wants to make a career and enjoy it as an NBA player. So tonight's the beginning of that process. I hope it works out. I don't think he'll be the same player, but I don't think he expects to be.
Yeah, well, it sounded like he's kind of wrapped his mind around the idea that he's not going to be the same player, that he is going to lean on elements of his game that maybe you took for granted, like his understanding.
Craft and guile?
Well, yeah.
I mean,
that sounds like a guy throwing a spitball.
It does. He sounds like he sounds like a 37-year-old left-hander, all right, who's hanging on by a mere thread or
that was not
a few seams.
That was not what he meant.
Okay.
Craft and guile.
Well,
he knows how to cheat really well.
Well, if he can hit the three, he'll have a place if he can get up and down the floor. Can't be a defensive liability. Probably can't play in back-to-backs for a while. You wonder and you hope. You hope the medical science is as advanced as it seems and he's going to be somebody they can one day count on. Right now, it'd be a risk to count on him for too much. So tonight, the Bulls and the T-Wolves at the United Center. Looking forward to that. Seeing what other Bulls get into action. I'm wondering about Julian Phillips and the injury that he suffered the other night, how long that will linger, because he was starting to make a little bit of an impact.
You were moving him into like close to being a starter. He was definitely one of your
subs. He buried the corner three.
Oh, man. They took a lot of them, didn't they?
Over under tonight, 53 pointers, Bulls.
Under.
I'm going over.
They're not going to make 50.
No, I don't think make. I didn't say make.
Oh, that's what you meant.
No. Oh. The Bulls are good at taking threes. They're not yet good at making them.
They'll only need three games to make 50. stop it.
They might. Don't they made 17 so of 54 the other night. Three times 17 is 51. Right?
Yes. 21 okay. and 30.
Yeah, I can do the math.
Okay.
They're going to take a lot of threes this year and probably tonight. They need to get into the rhythm and get used to that kind of pace. If they are going to play their starters, I'll be curious to see if that translates. The other night they played the sub. They shot 54 three-pointers. Is that going to be the same approach with Kobe White, Zach LaVine, Patrick Williams in the lineup? And Vooch. Vooch is going to take his share, right? He's going to trail, be the trailer on the break, pass Vooch the ball. He'll sail a three from the top of the key.
I can't let go of this idea that it's 2.5 years. Like, I mean, how many players have been out of their sport for 2.5 years and then come back to a successful career?
That's a really good question.
Because all the guys we're talking about and all the medical miracles we're talking about are people, again, like Peyton Manning had multiple surgeries on his neck and came back and won a Super Bowl.
Right.
I don't know that he ever was the same player that he once was. I don't think he had the same arm strength when he was with Denver, but he did come back and win a Super Bowl, which is pretty astounding. I just don't think he was out two
this
years.
Kind of layoff. I have to.
That's the
really
that's
look.
The,
at,
that's the other element of this thing that we're not really talking about is the amount of time. Where you're out.
Even Sean Livingston, who is a good example, back in 2007, the Peoria product, who had a debilitating knee injury, he was out for a year and a half. It wasn't 2.5 years.
2.5 years, man.
It's a long time. January of 2022, that was the last time we saw Lonzo Ball on the basketball floor in a Bulls uniform. 35 games into a season that started great and finished with a fizzle.
You need to just to recognize him. You're going to need that like aging technology on his face.
No, you're not.
You will not
he looks
be able
the same,
to see, no, you will not be able to recognize him at all.
Now that would be some surgery. He didn't have plastic surgery, okay? He had reconstructive knee surgery. It wasn't a cosmetic deal. He looks the same.
Well, I mean, if he puts on his glasses over his bandages before they prove
don't
he's invisible.
That. I'm not going to be able to look at it the same way without laughing. So how about Grant Hill?
How long was he out?
Grant Hill, a year and a half? No, he didn't have that big of a layoff.
He seemed to have it really did impact his career though, didn't it?
Yeah, I think that he had an ankle injury in 2000. And plagued him for several years. He finally had surgery in 2003, and he missed the entire 2003-04 season. And then in 2005, he was back being an all-star. So he didn't miss that much time, but it was probably the biggest. It's one of those comps. I asked for a basketball comp and a couple texters, and I think pointed that out. Sean Livingston, Grant Hill, Bernard King, the names come up a little bit. That was going way back in the day.
And it's not 2.5 years. It's 2 years and 9 months, I'm told.
I know what you mean. I told you exactly when it happened. It's January of 2022. It's close to 3 years. It's closer to 3 years. It's 2.5 years.
Okay.
Plus. Yeah, you're right. You're right. Ignore the texters.
Texters don't like
me. You're right.
Texters think they got you. Oh.
It's a game of gotcha. It's a 4.5 hour game of gotcha for some guys.
You're wrong by 3 months. You idiot. Okay, I'm sorry.
And by the way,
still a long time.
Joe Theismann was 1985, not 95, as one texter pointed out. Oh. It was 33 years, not 23 years to the day.
Okay. Yeah. It just seemed like it was.
We have fact checkers.
Oh, man. No one told me. I wouldn't have done the interview if I was told there'd be fact checking.
There will be fact checking and there will be tickets to be won. And you can do that right now. You want to go to next summer's Windy City Smokeout? Who doesn't really want to plan ahead to that extent? Right now, you can be the sixth caller to the Scores Contest line, 312-540-0670, and you can win a pair of 4-day general admission passes. That's a great deal to the Windy City Smokeout, 312-540-0670.
Here's a great one. It is actually very interesting. Bill Walton.
Yes.
How long was Bill Walton out? I mean, he missed much of the 2000s. Wait a minute. That's the calendar's off on that one.
Well, he definitely had the kind of injury that plagued him for the rest of his career.
Yes, it did.
And he missed significant amounts of time because of it.
But he come back as a Celtic, and it was pretty extraordinary.
He had 37 surgeries in his lifetime.
Oh, my God.
37. Well, I don't think Lonzo Ball is there yet, but it's early. He's only 26.
All right. We've got, I believe, is it a Layla Wednesday?
Yes, it's Dan, Layla, and Marshall.
Okay. We'll talk to them next. Mully and Haw on the Score.